We're going to take some time today and talk about being strong when things are difficult. It's easy to be strong and in faith when everything is going well. But when things become difficult, when we go through hard times, it can seem to amplify everything we go through. And one of the biggest discouragements we have is when we hit what I call a speed bump. When we're finally getting our hope back up or being encouraged and we're getting strong again, then all of a sudden something happens and it seems like nothing's ever going to change after that. I've had that happen many times in my life, especially when I've been going through something difficult, something hard. I start to get moving forward, I get momentum moving forward, and then something goes wrong. And it could be the smallest thing to other people, but to you, because you're going through a difficult time, everything is amplified. And so you start to think, this is it, this is my life, this is what it's going to be like forever. I fought so hard to get going again, then I hit this bump, and it feels like that's the end of the road. And the message today is it's only a speed bump. It's there by the devil to slow you down. And he wants to stop you, but you don't stop. You're strong in the Lord. God is your strength. You're an overcomer. You don't stop. And so it's only a speed bump. And over the years, after I've hit many speed bumps, during the moment of going through that speed bump, I felt this is it. This is, life is over. This is the way it's going to be forever. But after a while, I worked through it. I got through it, and I got stronger on the other side of it. And I found out it was only a speed bump. All those emotions of discouragement, defeat, frustration, devaluing myself were all lies of my natural man. They were all emotional responses, but there was no truth in them. As long as I didn't give up and kept walking forward, kept marching forward, even if I didn't feel like I could make it, I still made it. And on the other side of the speed bump, I found victory. And more victory, and more victory. And that's the promise of the scriptures. We go from glory to glory. So let's look at some scriptures today. And I want to prayerfully bring some encouragement to those who are going through a hard time and feeling like this is all there is. Trying to find hope. When you go through that extra discouragement, you've already been through a hard time. You're in the moment of a hard time. And then there's something that says, you might as well give up. It's never going to stop. You're never going to win. And that's a lie from the pit of hell, as they say. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll read some verses today, verses 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceedingly joy. Now, this is talking about the sufferings, the battles that the enemy brings against you as you're pursuing the will of God. In a sense here, don't consider it a strange thing that you're in the midst of a battle. In other words, we should expect to go through battles. And part of the reason we can be discouraged is because we have a wrong concept of faith, that we think that if I have faith, I don't have battles. But truthfully, don't consider a strange thing on this course of life following God when the enemy comes. It doesn't even have to be the enemy. Life itself can throw things at you. But we're not to get discouraged. We're not to quit. We're to believe in faith and walk in faith our whole life through whatever we face. And I want you to say of yourself, I am strong in the Lord and I will fight and I will walk with God no matter what I go through. I won't quit. I won't give up on the promises of God. So when you go through a hard time, you're extra sensitive, you're extra alert, you're extra, everything is amplified, you pull back. I know when I go through hard times and have in the past, my personality is to withdraw from all other things and to become alert of everything. It's kind of a safety measurement when I'm driving down the road and there's a loud noise, I put on the brakes and I get control of the car and my hands are on the steering wheel. And I'm alert of what's going on. Well, when you go through hard times, it makes you alert of many different things. And so everything's amplified. So even things that normally you would just brush off as, just a thing, it seems like it can be crushing and defeating. And it's because you're looking for more hope and more courage to keep moving on. And you finally get moving. You finally get that hope going. And the devil throws a little thing your way. And it feels like, why even try? Well, keep trying. Don't quit, because on the other side of this, you're going to find out it was just a speed bump. A speed bump is when you're driving down the road, they have these little bumps on the road, and their goal is to make you slow down so you don't keep driving fast through a neighborhood. So they force you to slow down as you go over the speed bump. And when you hit a speed bump, it slows you down. That's the purpose of it. Well, the enemy throws them at you to try to get you to stop. But with God, it's only a speed bump. It just makes you slow down for a minute, but you keep moving forward. And that's a big secret momentum to faith, is that we keep moving forward. Maybe some days you move an inch, some days you move a mile, but you're always moving forward. So if you hit a speed bump and it feels like life is over, it's okay to feel like life is over, but it's not okay to stop moving forward. Keep pressing in, keep moving forward, and then it's only a speed bump. And we don't consider ourselves special or isolated because the devil attacks us. Life is full of hard times. People all around the world go through hard times. We have God on our side. The world, you think about, the world has to figure out their own answers. But you have a Father in heaven who loves you and has answers for you. So you're not even on your own like the world. So toughen up and keep moving forward. We're going to read, let's go over to Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to read a little bit about Joseph. And we all know this story, but I think it'd be healthy for us to read his story a little bit. Genesis 37 is where it starts. And we read about a young man named Joseph. And let's just read a little bit. 37. Now Jacob dwelt on the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he had made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. And there we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, the sheaves stood all around me and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and the father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So we learn a few things. One thing is, be careful who you share your dreams with. But also that there's many times, if not every time, God gives you a dream of your future. It's not a promise that's going to come to pass immediately. It's not a job for you to make that dream come to true. It's a promise of what's going to come to pass if you don't stop following God. And this is powerful, because there's many of us who have prophecies and words and dreams and visions and things that God told us that haven't come to pass yet. And in the moments of our frustration, it's important that we go back to those dreams, back to those promises, and hold on to them, the prophecies, and say, "This is what God told me He would give to me if I stay following Him." So it's not your job to make your prophecy come to pass or your dreams come to pass. That's God's job. Your job is to follow Him no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, no matter what comes in your way. I heard a preacher many years ago, and I'll never forget, he said, "The road to the high call is littered with roadblocks. The road to the high call is littered with roadblocks." That the enemy throws roadblocks on your path to stop you on your goal to reach the high call of God. And it's our job to go through every roadblock. And these roadblocks I would call speed bumps. that they're there to try to stop you, but they can't stop you. They may slow you down, but they can't stop you. And especially when you're through a battle, you're already recovering from something hard, and you're going through a hard time, then these speed bumps can seem extra amplified. And it can seem like your world, this is it. This is how it's going to be forever. But it's not true. It's a lie. You're going to get through it. It's just a speed bump. And on the other side of it, you realize that was just a speed bump to get me to stop. But look at me. I didn't stop. So it's just a speed bump. Verse 12, Genesis 37. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not the brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I'll send you there to them." So he said to them, "Here I am." And he said to him, "Please go and see it as well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I heard them." So now we know that he caught up with his brothers. The brothers decided to first kill him. They threw him in the pit. They decided to kill him, but then they decided to sell him as a slave. And they took the money and they took his coat and many colors. And they told his dad that he was killed by a wild animal. And now Joseph is sold to slavers. His life is no longer his own. Now remember, he already received the dream and the promise. And the first hard time that he hit was his brothers being angry with him. But then we also see they turned on him and were going to kill him, but they couldn't. Remember this, the devil will make you think he's going to kill you. There's times where you think you don't have anything left. He's not going to kill you. He can't. You can survive. You can make it through whatever you're going through. They couldn't kill him. They sold him as a slave. Now he ends up being a slave. And then he gets sold, and we're going to jump over to chapter 39 for time's sake here. We should read through all of this. It's all powerful, but we're just going to jump through on and follow Joseph's life. Verse 1 of 39, Genesis. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him from down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph is seeing some success. He's still a slave, so his life is not his own. Now, you can be a slave in a nice house, or in a bad house, a poor house, and you're still a slave. So even though he's in a nice house, he's still a slave. His life is not his own. He can't make decisions. Hey, I'm going to go do this and just go on vacation. I'm going to do this. He had to follow his master. So he's still under that control. But he's in a good house and he's being successful. So Joseph, verse 4, found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from that time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So here we see Joseph succeeding. Many times in my life where I started to see success in one way or another, I would start to think, this is it. This is how God's going to make it happen. And I can see Joseph being excited about, hey, you know, look at me. Look at what God's doing in me. God's using me. And let's continue to read about Joseph's mission. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So this man, Potiphar, trusted Joseph so much, he just showed up and his meal was ready. His food was ready. Everything was taken care of. He didn't even ask Joseph accountability on the finances. And it says here that Joseph was a good-looking kid. He's not a kid anymore. And it came to pass, verse 7, after these things, that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was as he spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. So she hounded him day after day, trying to get him to sleep with her, and Joseph refused. So he did the right thing. He was a righteous man, and he refused her. But it happened about the time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. So she caught him by his garments, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garments in her hand and fled and ran outside. Again, doing the right thing. And look what happened. So it was when she saw that he left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he's brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me. I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So here we have a classic example of a person being accused of something they didn't do and then being blamed for the thing that the other person did. It's very common in life. And this poor guy, Joseph, was doing everything right, everything correct, was being blessed by God. And then this woman, the wife of Potiphar, came and accused him of doing the thing that she was trying to get him to do. And he was innocent, but he still was blamed, accused, and thrown into prison. So this is what we would call a speed bump, a roadblock. Like, I'm following God, I get thrown into a pit. My brothers sell me. And then I rise up. I'm rising up from the hardship. I'm rising up. And as I'm rising up and I get myself together and starting to press in and get hope again as a victory, boom, something hits me and it shouldn't be. I don't deserve this. I didn't do this. Why is this happening to me and not the guy down the street or the person down the road? Why is this happening to me? And this is a speed bump. And in these speed bump moments, you have to make a choice. Do I take it as this is it? Do I take it as rejection from God? Do I take it as failure? Or do I take a breath and try again and keep going forward? Do I keep the momentum moving forward? Does my faith keep me moving forward even though everything tells me to stop? Joseph kept moving forward. Chapter 40, verse 1. Then it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker, so the butler and baker were thrown in the jail with Joseph. He interpreted their dreams that the butler would be taken back and the baker would be executed. And so the good interpretation for the butler was, you're going to go back. And then Joseph asked him one thing. After you get taken back, remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh to get me out of this house. So his request was, hey, when you go back to the Pharaoh and you find out my interpretation was correct and God is with me, then please put in a good word with me for the Pharaoh. Will you do that? Will we have an agreement? The butler said, of course I will. I'll take care of you, brother. And then we read that in verse 22, after he hanged the chef baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So any bit of hope that rises up in these moments of speed bumps, that says, oh, here's finally my answer. See, that false hope rises up. I'm sure that Joseph waited by his prison cell for weeks and months after the butler got taken, waiting for someone to set him free to say the butler did what he said he would do. The butler said he would put a good word for you. Pharaoh has told me to come and get you out of this jail. We're sorry you've been in here. It's not fair that you've had this time. We apologize. And nothing happened. So you can see how his emotions could probably tell him it's another failure. These are speed bumps. When you go through hard times, you can't trust your emotions. They're not your source of strength. If they are, you will lose over and over again. God has to be your source of strength. The words that you have, the promises that you have, the dreams that you've had, the prophecies that you had spoken over you, the pathway God's put you on, that's to be your path, irregardless of how you feel. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to feel like you're going to fail. It's okay like to feel like you're going to give up. It's okay to want to give up. Just don't give up. Keep moving forward, even though you don't feel like it. We have one friend who's a marathon runner, and her husband were running in one of their early marathons. And she said that right around mile 20 of the long marathon, she hit a wall and she wanted to quit. I think something happened to her headphones and that was it. She said, I pitched a fit. I started to cry. I started to give up. And my husband kept dragging me forward through the wall. And eventually I got back to jogging and I finished the marathon. But she was ready to give up. Her emotions were so discouraged, so frustrated that they said, let's quit. And because her husband pushed her through, she finished the marathon. And so it's okay to have a bad moment. It's okay to feel like giving up. It's okay to feel that frustration. Just don't give up. And you'll find that it was all a lie. The emotions have no truth. The natural emotions have no truth in them. They're not built on truth. They're built on luxuries that you don't get when you're going through hard times. Now, if you're not going through a hard time and life is great, everything's in line, you wonder why people have a hard time. But if you've been through a hard time, you have more mercy on people when they go through hard times. Chapter 41, verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So this is 2 years now after the butler promised Pharaoh he wouldn't forget him, and he forgot him. Joseph is in jail for 2 years. The whole process from Joseph's dream to fulfillment is over 20 years. Can you imagine taking 20 years and going through things? One lady I know, she was a good Christian lady, and she had a boy that said he wanted to marry her. And she said, well, I can't marry you unless you're a church-going boy. And he said, well, praise God, I'll be a church-going boy. And he went to church with her, I think for a year, and got saved and did everything right. So she married him. And the day after they got married, he told her, I want you to know I really love you. I would do anything to get to be married to you, including lie to you about church. I don't believe in church. I don't believe in God. I'm sorry I lied to you, but I really wanted to be married to you. So now she's married to this joker. And she prayed for his salvation. He wouldn't go to church for, I believe, 20 years. She put up with him and prayed for his salvation. Wouldn't give up. Wouldn't give up because she had a promise from God. She made a covenant of marriage. He was a good man overall, but he wouldn't follow her or follow God and wouldn't lead her into godly things. So everything was a battle in their life. But after 20 years, he got saved and was the most lovingest man you've ever met. And I can give you many testimonies of women, especially praying in their spouse, who's either on drugs or on alcohol, or is abandoned from God, praying for their children to be saved. And it took many years of not giving up, many years of being encouraged, getting a good report and then a bad report, getting a good report and a bad report, and getting excited about the good things, but again, discouraged in the bad things. And one of the rules you learn in faith is you can't use the reports. It's okay to, in one extent, to be excited when you get a good report, but understand that if you use the good report as your excitement, then when a bad report comes, it's going to also take away your excitement and bring you into depression. So we don't use reports as our faith standard. Our faith standard is the promises of God, is my children will be saved, my husband will be saved, my wife will be saved, whatever you're going through. This is the promise of God. The way it fluctuates, good report, bad report, doesn't matter, because the Word of God is what we stand in. What gets me excited is the promises of God, not the reports that come, because good reports will get you excited, but bad reports can get you discouraged. After 2 years, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. So he told the dream, and the butler remembered Joseph. The butler remembered Joseph after the dream. And then he said, hey, I know someone who maybe can interpret your dream. And this was the door that God used to bring Joseph on the path to where the dream that God gave him actually came to pass. The point is that on your path to follow God, you are going to find discouraging moments. And these discouraging moments are only speed bumps. Now remember, if you're going through a hard time, everything seems amplified. It's not as big as it seems. Because I've been through moments when I've been down so hard that it took everything I could just to get moving again. And then as I get moving, I start to get excited about, hey, this is going to work out. God's for me. He's not against me. And then, boom, something will hit me. It's a little thing to other people. To me, it seems like the whole world just stopped. And in that moment, the emotion says, this is it. Especially if it lasts longer than a day or how about a year or two. You know, like it can really start to say, God's left you. God's abandoned you. The promises are for someone else. They're not for you. These are moments to not listen to your emotions. These are moments to get up and press into God and do what you know to do. It's okay to have a bad day, but it's not okay to quit. It's not okay to let go of the dream. Now, you let go of your ability to make the dream come to pass, but you don't let go of the dream. You don't let go of the prophecies. The prophecies that God gave you, the words that God's spoken to your heart, the direction God's given to you, wasn't by accident, and they're there to tell you, if you don't quit, this is what's going to happen to you. But if you quit, that won't happen. A prophecy isn't a promise that is promise is going to happen. It's a promise that says, if you stay the course, this is what God's going to give you. And so many people have given up on the course. They got frustrated because of the hardships the enemy's thrown against them, and they let go of things. It took over 20 years for Joseph's path to come to completion, for that dream to come to pass. And it did come to pass, but he had many hardships on the way. We're going to read in James right now. James chapter 1. I feel sometimes our gospel in America especially has been taught without the message of hard times. It's been taught as in, hey, we should have all be happy and blessed and seek happiness and blessing. And really, in Scripture, we're to seek the will of God. And every hardship is something that we go through because we become stronger on the other side. And we don't have to take anything from the devil. Let's start in James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So here's James telling you, hey, when you go through various trials, to count it joy. This is a concept we need to get into our culture, our Christian culture. That hard times, when they come, are opportunities for your faith to rise up. They're opportunities to overcome. They're opportunities to grow and mature. Not to get discouraged. When you look at life with God as being a happy life, a happy time, with everything being perfect, then you're going to set yourself up for being discouraged. Because life probably doesn't give that to most people. Especially when you're following God, you now not only have life throwing you curveballs, you also have the enemy throwing things at you. Here, James says, count it all joy. Well, what's to be joyful? We count it joy that I've been blessed, that the enemy thinks that I'm worth fighting against. Praise God. That means I'm something good, as God's got something good for me, because the enemy's afraid of me fulfilling it. He's trying to stop me. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So these hard times that we go through, they produce patience. They don't build your faith. It's the testing of your faith, but they produce patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So there's a work that God does, even when the enemy throws trials your way, that produces a patience that says, God, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to walk through this. I'm not in a hurry. Patience is the opposite of being in a hurry. Too many of us are in a hurry to see God's promises come to pass. We're in a hurry to see God's blessing, that it takes us out of faith and puts us into works. Here it says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it would be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable is on all his ways. So there's nothing that exposes it being double-mindedness than having a hard time, a difficult time. And the single-mindedness that we need to have is, I'm already victorious. I've already won. God has already blessed me and put his hand on me. Jesus has already paid the price that I have victory over every battle. And that is the single-mindedness that we have, that no matter what I'm going through and where I am while I'm going through it, if I don't give up, I've already won. This is important. You've already won if you don't give up. That's the single-mindedness. Double-mindedness means that we have two thoughts, two minds, and it makes us doubt why I'm going through things. It makes us doubt that we're going to win. It makes us second-guess everything, every decision we have, instead of trusting God and staying on the course that we're on. Someone said, well, what happens if I'm going through a hard time and I can't hear God? And I heard someone say a long time ago, it's when you're taking a test that the teacher stays silent. And another one I heard that I really hold on to is, if you don't hear God speaking to you, he's telling you something. Stay the course. Get up and keep moving forward. Don't change course because you're going through a difficult time. The truth is, you're just going through a speed bump. One man I know, him and his wife went through a really bad divorce, and he was a Christian man. And this is his side of the story. I don't know her side. And the wife was an attorney. So she, from his side, he said that she set him up in a way that when she filed for divorce, she knew what to file so that he was accused of things that he didn't do, but it made him not have any rights with his children. And so she went and took his children to another state 2,000 miles away from where he was at, and he had no power to see his children or to get his children back. From his testimony, she was raising them in a non-Christian type atmosphere. And he wanted desperately to get his children back, to raise them in Christ and to be with them. And he said he tried court, he tried the legal route, and every avenue he tried, he was shut down for year after year, trying again and trying again. And every door was slammed in his face, and he was discouraged and discouraged, but he wouldn't give up. And he said one day he got before a judge, an old 90-some-year-old federal judge in Arkansas. And that old federal judge wrote on a piece of paper and said, here you go. You go get your kids. And he gave him a paper. And he said, you take this with you, and you go get your kids. And he said, if even a policeman tries to stop you, you give this paper to any other policeman, and they'll arrest that policeman. And that man was able, after many years of trying and struggling for his children, miraculously, at the last moment, God worked through the law to make it capable of going to get his kids and bring them up in a Christian home. And I don't know the whole story, but I can tell you it was a miracle that he was desperate and giving up, and he didn't give up. And praise God, it came through. And for many of us, when we go through hard times, whether it be in our finances, our health, in our calling, in our family situations, in our own emotional struggles, that the most important single-mindedness thing that we can have is we don't give up. And when we go through hard times, whether we deserve it or don't deserve it, God has an answer for us. God believes in us. And if we stay the course, we stay focused, not double-minded, where we second-guess every decision, change our course, going around and around and around trying to figure life out. We have a Father who loves us, who has a plan for us. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He doesn't expect perfection. He made a plan, even with our imperfections, even with our mistakes, for us to win. And it's so important that we don't ever give up. And when we hit those moments where we're discouraged and it feels like it's an extra stab because we just got up from the last battle. We're just catching our breath. We're just getting momentum. And all of a sudden, boom, we get hit by something. And it can seem small to other people, but to us, it's the biggest thing in the world. That's just a lie that says you might as well give up. This is how life is. Because you'll see when you get to the other side of this, you'll find out that was just a speed bump. I need to keep moving forward. And there's many days where I have given up in my life a million times in one day. Why even try? Why even get up and move? But I still got up, and I drug my natural emotions with me as they were pouting and crying and discouraged and not try. I'm not going to try. I still got up and drug those emotions with me and said, well, we're going to go anyway, whether you feel like it or not. That movement, even if you moved an inch, you moved an inch. That's better than going backwards. It's better than giving up and just squatting right there. One lady I know, her testimony was she had many miscarriages, and that she wanted a baby so bad, and she kept trying and kept trying. And I can't imagine a worse scenario for someone. I can't imagine anything worse than her testimony of wanting a child, getting pregnant, going along with the excitement of getting pregnant, going along, and then after a few months, finding out that the body would not keep the baby, and having a miscarriage. And to get past that and to try again. Well, she had tried 7 or 8 times and just couldn't. She kept having miscarriages. I mean, how do you find the hope to keep trying? How do you find faith and get your emotions to even agree that, okay, this one's going to make it? I mean, those are little babies. And I mean, her heart was broken over and over and over. I think it was 7 miscarriages. But the 8th one, she brought all the way to completion and had a healthy baby. What an example of faith, of not giving up and not staying in the place of discouragement. Saying, we'll just give up. I appreciate every person who's trying for a child, the ones who adopt, whatever path you take, there's no judgment, there's no failing in this mission. But to not take it personal, can you imagine how personal it can feel? Like, God, have you abandoned me? Am I just cursed that I can't have a baby? What's wrong? Well, we know on this side of the story that it's just her natural body. She had a bigger fight in her health naturally than other people do. Some people who don't even want to have babies get pregnant and have a healthy baby. She wanted one. And you hear stories of women who miscarried and their sister gets pregnant and they feel bitterness, like, how can she get pregnant when I'm trying to raise a child for God and she's not even serving God? And they have bitterness they have to deal with. Well, all these emotions are roadblocks to your faith, roadblocks to encouragement. This lady never gave up. She never quit. She kept her heart right. She kept believing, kept standing on the word, on the promises of God. Did not take failure or the circumstances as failure. Did not take losing the child as a reflection of her lack of faith, saying, you lack faith, you have a problem. She took it into saying, I'm going to overcome this. I'm not going to quit. That's being single-minded, where no matter what the speed bumps are, no matter what roadblocks hit you, you don't quit. You don't give up. You keep moving forward. It's just a speed bump. I know it seems bigger because you're already going through a battle. And so everything is bigger when you're going through a battle already. But she didn't give up, and she got victory. And I think she had many children after that. And it's funny, you kind of hear this story sometimes. People who decide to adopt because they had a number of miscarriages, they adopt the child, and right after they adopt the child, they get pregnant and have a healthy baby. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Psalm chapter 28, our last verses here. Psalm 28. Again, the testimony we're taking today is, I may have had a bad day, but I'm not giving up. I may feel like giving up, but I'm not giving up. It may feel like the world stopped today, but I'm moving at least an inch forward. I'm not going to give up. Some days I get a mile forward. Some days I may get a million miles forward. Some days I get an inch forward. But I'm still moving forward. I'm always moving forward. I don't give up. What I'm going through is just a speed bump. It's not the end of the road. It's not over. This is not life. Because that's what it can feel like in the middle of a speed bump. It can feel like this is it. This is how I'm going to live the rest of my life. It's not the rest of your life. This is just a speed bump. Psalm 28. I love David. I love his psalms. So much heart in him. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. So here's one of the cries of David. He's going through a hard time crying out to God. And he says, hear the voice of my supplication. Supplication means you're asking God to help you. I am asking God to help me with my circumstances. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. I remember Pastor Dave saying many times, when all of hell is sitting on your shoulders, and you have a darkness sitting on you, and life is sitting on you, and your little hands break through the darkness, and they go, you lift them up, and it feels like it's a million pounds of weight just to lift your hands, like God has abandoned you. You can't feel God's presence. You can't feel hope. You can't feel excitement. You can't feel faith. You can't feel love. All you feel is defeat and brokenness and despair. And in those moments, when you have all that sitting on your shoulders and that big cloud above you, and your hand breaks through that darkness, and God sees your hand lifted up through the battle. The enemy sees your hands lifted up through the battle. That even the worst he threw at you, the darkest of days, the hardness of defeat is sitting on your shoulders, and your hands still make it through the cloud, and you're worshiping God. God, I don't blame you. This is not you. This is not our defeat. This is not the end of the road. I will worship God and worship Him and cry out to Him no matter how hard it seems. Even if I feel that my emotions are saying He's given up, He's abandoned you, I refuse to accept that. I will lift up my hands and I'll worship God in the middle of my darkest moments, in the middle of what feels like the end of the road, in the midst of feeling defeated. I will always and still worship God and give Him praise, because I count it all joy when I go through difficult times. Count it joy. You're in the midst of a battle because the devil is afraid of you. Don't give up. Get your chin up. Raise it up. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you're supplicating for, whatever you're believing for, whatever has come against you, don't give up. Keep worshiping God. That's the moment to really worship God. You know, we have social media. One of my favorite posts to make fun of and make sure I never do is when someone's on the beach and they show their toes and you see the ocean and the beach and their legs and you see their toes and they take a picture and say, "Praise God for His wonderful blessings." It's out there to make everyone else jealous. You know, God bless them. But you know when the time to say praise God isn't just when you're going through the blessings of God, when you feel in abundance and joyful because life is good. The time to really celebrate that you're worshiping God is when everything's dark. Like when Paul's in prison and being whipped and beaten, he worshiped God. That's the time to post on social media. "Man, all hell's breaking loose against me. My health is bad. The finances are bad. My friends have left me. The world's at the end. Emotionally, I've given up. I feel defeated. I worship God." That's the post that God likes to see. That's the post the devil's afraid of. That you worship God not just when things are easy, but even when they're hard. You worship God. Your little hand breaks through the cloud of defeat, the cloud of discouragement, and sticks your nose at the devil and says, "I will not give up." And you lift your head up to God and your hands come through that cloud and say, "You're my answer. You're not my problem, God." We don't give up. We never blame God. He's always our answer. He's never our problem. And if you don't hear Him, He's telling you something. Get up and keep moving. Keep moving. Nothing's changed in our plan. Just because you're going through hard times doesn't mean that you're failing. Sometimes it means you're doing everything right, and the devil's trying to stop you. Keep praising God. Keep worshiping God. "Hear the voice," verse 2, "of my supplications, when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary." The time to really worship God is not when everything is going great, but when everything's going hard and difficult and it feels like your world is at an end. Remind yourself, my world is not at an end. Life is not over. This is not the end of me. This is just the beginning of me. I'm just beginning to launch forward, and I'm becoming stronger to where one day I'll live above this and never have to go through this again. But just because I'm going through it doesn't mean I'm failing. I lift up my hands through that defeat, and I worship God. God, I worship You. I glorify You. You're my strength. I magnify You. I thank You that whatever I'm going through, You're my strength, and we already have the victory. I will finish my course. I'll finish my race. I won't quit. I won't give up. I won't stop. If you're in the midst of a speed bump, remember, it's just a speed bump. You're going to get over it. You're going to get through it. You're going to get past it. And you'll look back and realize, wow, in the midst of that, I thought it was over. And look at me. I haven't finished yet. I still got much more to do and many more lives to change as we continue to follow God and never give up. We never give up. That's the single-mindedness. God's word is true. Everything else is a lie. We don't give up. Let's worship God. Take some time today. Let me encourage you. Take some time just now, today or right now, and worship God in the midst of your battle and say, God, you're wonderful and you're glorious. It's such a pleasure to worship you. I count it joy. Even my battles make me turn more to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you. Bye-bye.